I was hearing of someone that had, that passed away and gave to their daughter the jewelry collection that they had. And there's cosmetic jewelry and then there's the real jewels. Yeah. Cosmetic is almost no price to it. It's just, you can buy it at Walmart. But then there's the ones that are thousands of dollars for it. So I was thinking about this man. When he decided he would sell everything he had, it was because he knew the value of what that was, that it was going to be worth it. And I was thinking about the world would like to tell us today what has value and what does not. What value does the world put on what we're doing here tonight? Probably not a whole lot of value. You know, to them, what's of real value is work hard, save up a lot of money and get to retirement where you can take it easy when you get there without a thought of what's the next step after that. What is the value to us as a Christian? I was thinking about Wednesday night, the song that Lorenda shared with us. Let me see.
Yes.
I see something that has value. Others might think of it kind of as cosmetic jewelry. There's really no, I mean, you can buy that anywhere. You know, religion is like that. It's available on a lot of street corners. But to be a real Christian has some real value.
Yes.
That song was Let Me See Jesus Only.
Yes.
And it was dead to every worldly pleasure, dead indeed to sin am I, but alive to Christ my Savior, daily to Him I'm drawing nigh. Now you look at that, this person that wrote that song saw some value. I'm selling everything else that I've got. I'm dead to the worldly pleasure, dead indeed to sin am I. Saw something else that had some value to it. Then it says, let me strive not for the riches of this earth that soon decay. From the world I've turned to Jesus and His more abundant way. But you know, life goes on. They're making some choices during life. But then it has one more verse. When I face death's chilly river, when upon the brink I stand, I shall fearless be if Jesus leads me gently by the hand.
Yeah.
You know, everyone is going to come to that time where they breathe their last breath. No matter whether the things that they held valuable here were just cosmetic, they didn't have any eternal value or not, we'll all be going out. So there was a little phrase of a scripture that I've been thinking of as the topic for this. Those that love His appearing.
Yes.
I found that in a scripture. You'll find it as we go along. What value is it for me to live my life to where when I breathe my last and I'm to stand before Him, I can love His appearing? I have lived for this time. I have traded what was valuable. I bought what was valuable. I gave up everything else for it. So that how would it be when I know that I'm breathing my last? You know, most people don't even think about that I'm going to stand before God next. It's just kind of like we die and we're buried in the cemetery and that's it. But we have so much to whom much is given. Much is required. So I have a knowledge that there's more to this life than just what I can gain temporally. I'm headed out for eternity. I'll spend eternity in heaven or hell, as we heard this morning. So I was thinking about the love His appearing. Apostle Paul and his testimony. I'd like to look in Philippians. Philippians the third chapter, because he lived his life to where when it came to an end, he loved His appearing. Philippians 3 and 13 to 15. This is his testimony.
Yes.
Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I haven't gained it yet. I'm not there. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That was his choice. You know, he could have had a lot of popularity. The religious world around him was supporting him until he made his change on the road to Damascus. And then they turned against him. But with this, he says, there's one thing that I'm doing. You know, sometimes we have got to forget those things that are behind, if they have been forgiven. Now, we don't want to say, you know what, I've got a lot of wrongs in my past and I'd rather not deal with them, so I'm going to just bury them. No, that won't work. But whenever I come to the point like Paul turned his back on the things that were wrong. And, you know, he had a lot of things to forget, because our mind will want to churn on what the past was and what happened to us. Whether we did others wrong or whether they did us wrong, our mind can churn on that. And it can lead to the scripture that says, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you. Well, Paul had, it's hard for me to think about what he must have faced when he had gone to those places. And it says that he put some of them in prison. Some of them were put to death. And now he's on their side. And he's maybe going to those congregations to preach. And here comes a woman with her children to service, and maybe the husband has been killed. You know, Paul has got to put some things behind. Lord, I'm sorry for that, but I intend to move on. So he says here, forgetting those things that are behind. And he didn't just forget the things that were behind, but he saw the value of something that was out ahead. I'm reaching forth to those things which are before. And since I'm doing that, here's what he's doing. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And then this 15th verse, not just for him, but this is also for us. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this to you. Should I forget one day and I get consumed with temporal things, I'm counting on this scripture. Amen. That down in my heart, the Lord really knows I want to make heaven my home. But I'm getting caught up in some things. Right now, they can be things that are happening in our nation or our world or whatever. He will reveal even this unto you. I am thankful that we can count on that. And should I forget, and I start getting consumed with this world, building some money for retirement. And there's a balance there. Because I've got to live as if I'm going to leave here tomorrow. I've got to make sure everything is clear in my life. And yet I've got to live life as if I'm going to be here for many years out in the future. How do I balance those things? One of them was in Matthew 6, in the 6th chapter. Because what's important right here is where my heart is. It says in the 21st verse of Matthew 6, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So I was thinking of the balancing that we have to do with this, so that I will be able at the end of my life to love his appearing. Jesus said when he was praying in John 17, I don't pray that you take them out of the world. Yes. What I'm praying for is while they're in the world that you will keep them from the evil that is in the world. So that was his desire. So how do I balance all this to where I have a job, got cars, we all do, a house. We've got temporal possessions. And yet I want to be able to love his appearing when he calls me out of this world. Colossians, the 3rd chapter. Set your affections on things above. If you've been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. That's the first verse, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Second verse, set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. And so many of those scriptures, we can look at them and say, okay, maybe I just need to do like they did when Jesus was taken from, when he rose up and was gone, and the angel said, in like manner, you're going to see him come again. And they went out and they sold everything they had because we expect him to be coming back soon. And he has not come yet. And yet, we have to balance that. We have to realize he is coming again for me. And I want to be able to welcome him on the day that he would call for me. And to do that, dead to every worldly pleasure, dead indeed to sin am I. I've got to, if I want to love his appearing, there's something I'm going to need to be able to do. And that's in 1 John, the second chapter. 1 John 2 and 15. I've got to find my balance here. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it's of the world. The 17th verse, and the world will pass away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So I have to find this balance of a place that I do not love the world, that I am able to keep myself separated from it, and yet I live in it. I'm going to have to live tomorrow as if I'm going to be here for 20 more years, set some money aside, and yet not let my heart be set there. Because what's going to be real easy to happen, if I let my heart get attached to the temporal things, there are people that would, they don't want to leave. This is my life. I've set my heart on the temporal things and I've just reached it. You remember the rich man where his crops brought forth plentifully? He had arrived. You know, the world will say you have arrived if you've reached retirement age with plenty of money. He had arrived and he started talking to his soul. You know, he never talked, as far as I know, it does not show that he ever talked to anyone else. He never made a verbal conversation. He was all just thinking it in his head. He said to himself and made some plans for out in the future, planned for living, but he did not plan for dying. For us to be able to love his appearing, I don't know if it'll be tomorrow or if it'll be 10 years from now, but I've got to live every day in a way that should it be tomorrow, I am ready to meet him. So I was thinking of the verse. You remember in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 4th chapter, it ends up, it starts to try to tell us what the end is going to be like when he comes again. And when he tells how the dead in Christ will rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet him. And he closes out with a little verse right at the end. Comfort one another with these scriptures. The thought of leaving temporal things if my heart is wrapped up around it, is not going to be much of a comfort. But this one says, let's have our heart to where this pearl that this man in the first verse that we looked at, he saw a pearl of great price. He valued it so much that he went out and he sold everything else that he had to be able to buy it. May I value meeting Christ with a clear slate, having nothing between us, as being so valuable, I must have that. Moses had it. I was thinking about the testimony of him in Hebrews 11 and 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. It says he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. I was looking at the definition of recompense. It's a compensation. It's an equivalent returned for anything that's been given. Here's a recompense. Be thou faithful unto death, yes, and I will give you a crown of life. Moses was able to see back there the choosing to suffer the affliction with the people of God, then to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. There was a recompense coming for that. And in the next chapter, there have been a lot of examples given for us, 12 and 1. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight.
Amen.
If I want to, what was our topic? Love his appearing.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to lay aside every weight. There's some weights that will draw me down to where I would have fear standing before him. Sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I was thinking of Paul, Apostle Paul, in the race that he ran. He ran it with patience. How many times when he gave his list of how many things that had happened to him, how many times he had 40 stripes save one, how many times he was shipwrecked, all the different things that happened that could have turned him around. But I think he had a vision of loving the appearing of God. To be able to, there's one day that this is coming to an end, and I want to be ready to meet him. Of course, he had a heavenly vision that probably helped him also. We need that same thing ourselves. This is the pearl of great price that I want to talk about tonight, is that at the end of my life, when I draw my last breath, that he can say to me, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So Paul was able to say, none of these things move me. He was able to say in Romans, who's going to separate us? Romans 8, 35 through 38. Who shall separate us from the love of God? And he gave a pretty big list of the things that could do it. There's some things that could stop us, to make us to where we don't see the value in continuing on. But then he ended it when he got right down to the end of it. 35th was, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. And then he goes on down and he turns this around. Nay, 37, nay, and all these things were more than conquerors through him that loved us. I am persuaded. And then he goes through all that list again, that none of these things will be able to separate us from the love of God. And then the verse that we had of where this topic came from, Paul, when he finishes up his race, 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, 2 Timothy 4 and 6, at the end of all the things that has happened in his life, now he's fitting to appear whether he loves it or not. He says, I'm now ready to be offered.
Yes.
The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but to all of those who love his appearing. So what do I need to do in 2021? To be able to, whether it's this year or whether it's years out ahead, to love his appearing when he calls for me. I remember going to, and I don't know how many even remember her, Sister Patsy Kane. When she died, she had a song. She said, I would like for this song to be sung at my funeral. We don't hear it much anymore, but here's the words to it. Nothing between. Yeah, it's pretty valuable to the person who just died, to have had this song for a testimony. Nothing between my soul and the Savior.
Yes.
Not of this world's delusive dream. I have renounced all sinful pleasure. Jesus is mine. There's nothing between. Nothing between like worldly pleasure. Habits of life, though harmless they seem, must not my heart from him ever sever. He is my all. There's nothing between. Nothing between like pride or station, self or friends shall not intervene. Though it may cost me much tribulation, I am resolved there's nothing between. Nothing between even many hard trials, though the whole world against me convene, watching with prayer and much self-denial, I will triumph at last because there's nothing between. Nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that His blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of His favor. Keep the way clear. Let nothing between. If I live my life with that song as my testimony, I will love His appearing when He calls for me. Singing of in the Beatitudes, one of them in Matthew 5:8 said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. For me to love His appearing, I'm going to have to keep my heart pure before Him. And there's many people that have a desire to make heaven their home now. There's some instruction given to us in 1 John. Again, if I have a desire to make heaven my home, there's some instruction for me to love His appearing. 1 John 3:1. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. We know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. What is that? Love His appearing. It's happening now. If I've got that plan, look at the third verse. There's something I need to be doing today. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Yes. If I have this hope that when He calls for me, I am going to be so glad that He has called, I need to be purifying myself even as He is pure. Can I do that on my own? No, I can't. Can I even recognize it on my own? Sometimes I can't. So I want to always remember the prayer in Psalms 139:23-24. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. See, I've got this desire. I know that I'm going out into eternity one day. We have the knowledge of it. Many people don't have that knowledge today. We have the knowledge. I'm going to stand before God one day. And I want to have a love for His appearing. And to do that, I'm going to have to take care of some things in my life. Yeah. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. I can only see it sometimes as God shows it to me. Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in this way everlasting. To where when you call for me, I can be prepared to stand before you. And the Lord wants to come along to each of us and show us places in our life. My son, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Is it because he enjoys it? It's his desire for me to be living in the place that I can love his appearing when he calls for me. So something happened this week that showed me something about myself that I did not know, an incident that happened, showed me there was a change that needed to come about. You know, the first thing I've got to do is accept responsibility. To realize, Lord, I need your help. I didn't even know that was there, but I need your help. And I am so thankful. Because here's our tendency, so easy. And instead of taking responsibility for our action, a lot of times from a child up through adulthood, we can start with, but they did this, or they said this. And it seems to want to justify what I did. But I'm counting on this scripture where it says, if you happen to be otherwise minded, God will reveal even this unto you, that God will show us any adjustments that need to be made in our life, because it's His desire that we love His appearing when He calls for us. Because about the saddest thing I can think of is if through my life I go through it saying, I'm going to love His appearing, and then I stand before Him and what I hear is depart.
Yes.
Don't want that to happen. But it says it's going to happen to many people. Well, I can look around and say, well, I wonder who else it'll happen to, but I don't want it to be me. So I need to search. It's in Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. That's going to be the important thing. It's not that I go through life saying I am ready to stand before him at any time. But instead, while I'm here, I'm asking the Lord, would you search me? I think I'm ready, but Lord, I need you to show me. Help me to be ready. Because I do not want to get there feeling like everything is clear and then he say, depart from me. There is another verse in Matthew, the 24th chapter, and in the 42nd verse. Watch therefore, ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. I want to love his appearing. So what I'm going to have to do is keep inventory of my life, keep it up to date, because he's not telling me when he's coming. It says, know this, if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. And in the 44th verse, be also ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. There is a song that we sing in our book, He Comes. It says, his loved, his own, all hear his voice. They obey his call, in him rejoice. The way of life has been their choice. He comes, he comes. Yes. Now to these mansions, those mansions fair and bright, they take their everlasting flight. There they shall walk with him in white. He comes, he comes. Behold what wonder greets mine eye. 10,000 angels in the sky. The end has come. Destruction's nigh. He comes. Oh, fearful scene.
Yes.
Creation groans while loud above the trumpet tones. What peals of joy.
Yes.
What piercing moans.
Yes.
He comes. You know, where I stand on that day doesn't affect whether he comes. He has a time appointed to come. And we can look at this, okay, you know, like in 2 Peter 3, they say all our lives we've been hearing that he's coming and it hasn't ever happened yet. But I need to realize while we're all waiting for the end of all things, and you know, also I can be in a place where I feel like, you know, things are so wicked today that the end must be very near. Do you know what? If we would go back in time and look at history, we'll find out, folks, we got it pretty good today at our worst day compared to what other people suffered. If we were to pull out the Fox's Book of Martyrs, we'll find out, folks, we got it really nice today compared to the past. So if I'm looking at just troubled times to mean the end is close, maybe it's not. But you know what? My best thing to do is live as if I think tomorrow might be the end. Just take care of business. Be ready to meet him. If it's not tomorrow, and I'll live every day as if it was that day, I'll be ready for it. And you know, I'll be able to enjoy life while I have it here. Yeah. There's a song that tells us, if you have no time for Jesus ere you pass beyond the blue, in the resurrection morning he will have no time for you. You know, I would like to be spending more time with the Lord on this side so that he will recognize me when I come to that side. There's a song that says, take time to be holy. Be calm in thy soul. Each thought and each motive be beneath his control. Thus led by his spirit to mansions of love, thou soon shall be fitted for service above. Take time to be holy. That's not something we can do on our own, but we have a part to be able to play. Because at the end of all this, I want to love his appearing. I want to be ready to meet him when he calls for me. There's a verse over in Psalms 27th chapter. Because throughout this life, there's times when the Lord calls for us to stop the busy things of life, take some time for Him. 27th chapter of Psalms, the 8th verse. When thou saidst, seek ye my face. What was my response in 2021 when things are so busy? This one said, when thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. If I will do that throughout my life, I will love his appearing when he calls for me. The Bible closes out in Revelations with Jesus saying, I'm coming quickly. In Revelations 22, the very last of the book, surely I come quickly. No time now to make an adjustment. Boy, it'd be a mighty good time to love his appearing. And John had a response that came right on back. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Taking care of business every day, making the adjustments that the Lord shows us, will help us to be able to, as Paul, he loved his appearing. You know, Paul knew it's coming closer and closer now. My life is going to be gone. He said, I am now ready to be offered. He was able to see and looking forward to meeting the Lord. Got one more verse of a song. I'll not be afraid when the grave I shall see. Just beyond its dark shadow is rest. And the welcome of angels is waiting for me when I enter those realms of the blessed. I'll not be afraid. I'll not be afraid. Where he leadeth, I safely can go. I will trust him alway, both by night and by day. He'll be with me forever, I know. And at the end of my life, I can love his appearing. I desire your prayers. I want to be faithful to him.